I want you to see this as a spiritual commencement. I'm not only speaking today to our graduates, Peyton and Jalen and Sydney, and our college graduates, Heather and Tennille and Yana, but I want to speak to each of us today about our spiritual maturation. I want to talk to you today about graduate glory. Graduate school is commonly understood, a term that defines higher education. It is traditionally referred to a master's degree or a doctorate or PhD degree. That is graduate school. But in recent years, it's been a little more loosely defined as to include any education effort beyond high school. Some choose to continue their formal education journey while others enroll in the degree of adulting. Either way you go, whether you're going into college or whether you're going into the workforce, you will be learning. You will be learning about life. You will be growing. You will be maturing. You will be becoming in your life. But the truth is, graduating grade school, graduating K through 12, it is considered the baseline. And I don't say that, you know, like that's not a major accomplishment. It is a major accomplishment, but I think it's still illegal not to go to school. I think they'll still come knock on your door if your kids are not going to school and that kind of thing. And yes, I have known people who have, quit school in their high school, and they've gone on to live productive lives. They've gone on to be successful in one way or another. They may grab their GED or the equivalency of their high school diploma, but getting through high school, that is going to be considered baseline. I had to do that. I had to do that. It's going to be on every application. Did you finish high school? Do you have a diploma? All of those things are necessary. I celebrate that. I celebrate higher education as well. I'm a part of it. I absolutely believe it. But I also am concerned about the climate of college these days. I'm concerned about what's being taught, and it'd be one thing if we were just teaching the subject, but we're trying to teach so much more that almost comes across as an indoctrination and a mind shift on the young people. And so if you're going away to college, let me charge you today to find a church while you're there, a church where you can worship, a church where you can serve, a church where you can give and be faithful. Why? Because these are important and impressionable years. I charge you today to make sure the whole Bible is taught and that conviction is felt. I challenge you, I charge you not to just find an atmosphere where you are told what you want to hear, but where the word can correct and the word can build and the word can help you grow in the ways of God. Because whenever I read this Bible, I see Jesus constantly pushing the followers. I see him pushing each of us to grow, to mature, to become, to see everything that he has available and to explore everything that he can and wants to do in our lives. And I want to read today from Luke chapter 24 because I really see this as Jesus' commencement address. Of course, the word commencement, it means beginning. It means start or starting point. And our graduates today are probably saying, hold on a minute. I don't want to talk about starting anything else. I finally finished something. I've just spent 12 or 13 years of my life, including some of those preschools and day schools and things like that. I finally finished something. And I hate to break it to you. You'll get to rest probably the rest of this Sunday afternoon. But come tomorrow morning, there are decisions to be made. Come later this week, there are choices to be made. You are yet beginning something else. You are at yet another starting point in your life. And that's what Jesus is saying in Luke 24, beginning at verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." All of you followers, Jesus says, you've been in the student phase. You've been in the soaking phase. You've just been hearing me teach, and you've been hearing what I have to say, and you've been soaking it up. You've been hearing it. You've been learning and growing and maturing. And all the while, I've been trying to get you ready for what is next. I've been trying to prepare you for what is coming and for what is on the way in your life. And then verse 45, the Bible said, "And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures." He opened their understanding. I've been teaching and some of this has not been making sense. I've been talking to you and showing you things and some of that you were grasping immediately. Other things you were trying to work out and figure out and trying to wrap your mind around them. But all in one moment, the Bible said that he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. This is revelation. This is illumination. This is understanding unlocked. I don't know if you've ever had this in your life, now I get it. Now I understand. Now it makes sense. Have you ever had that happen? That's your understanding being opened. That's your understanding being locked. That is revelation. That is illumination in your life. And Jesus gave that to all of the followers. And now they're standing there saying, whoa, now that makes sense to me. Now I understand this. It's going to happen with just about everything you've learned so far, except for algebra. Hadn't needed that. Still don't have my understanding unlocked for that. The Bible said in verse 46, Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." He said, this is grade school. This is what you've been learning. You've been K through 12 program, the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection. This is baseline. This is what I've needed you to know. This is what I've needed you to grasp up to this point. I am the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Jesus speaking to them. I went to the cross. It wasn't an accident. Some of you thought it was the greatest injustice, but he said that was the plan from the beginning. That was the plan from the beginning, that I would be the sacrifice. This is what I've needed you to see. This is what I've needed you to experience. This is baseline belief, and it is powerful as well. But Jesus said, you cannot stay stuck here. You got to keep growing. You can't just settle in belief. You can't just settle in a place of yes. You've got to mature to what is next and what is possible and what else is available in your life, because I am going to push you and I am going to stir you and I am going to call you. I'm going to open your understanding until you realize that you are anointed for more. That's what I'm praying for this service today. I'm praying that the Lord will open our understanding. I'm praying that a light will come on in our minds, in our hearts, in our spirits, and we will recognize, wait a minute, God has more for me. He didn't intend for me just to exist in this life. He didn't intend for me just to get through this life, but he intended for me to bless other people and to make a difference in someone else's life. I've been blessed, and I've been equipped to make a difference. He's opened their understanding until they see it. And then he tells them in verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. These are things that you have seen. Jesus is saying, you are my graduation class. You are my class that has made it. You've passed every test. You've come through every struggle. You've survived every storm. Just look at somebody near you. Tell them, I am a witness. I'm a witness. I too have survived every test. I too have come through every storm. I too have made it to this moment. I am a witness. I'm a witness to his keeping power. I'm a witness to his saving grace. I'm a witness to his unmerited mercy. And still Jesus says, this is baseline. This is baseline. This is, you're supposed to have this. Baseline is not supposed to be revelatory. Baseline is not, you know, hey, this is baseline. I wanted you to get this. I needed you to get this. This is the pediatrics. These are just the early years. I need you to progress. I need you to move. I need you to continue reaching and striving to find out what else does he have for me. Because he never intended just to save us. I know that messes with people's thinking because, oh, you know, I must be saved. His only goal is to save us. Yes, yes, yes. His goal is to save you, but he's saving you for a reason and saving you on purpose and saving you because he has a plan for you. Do you think the idea is for the Lord to save you so that you can just sit down on a church pew with your hands folded and just nod to all the protocol and just clap at the appropriate time? No, no, no. He saved you because he wants to bless someone through you. He wants to make a difference in someone's life because of you. You are blessed to be a blessing. Is anybody hearing the word today? You're witnesses, he said, of these things. You've experienced them. You've seen them. You've experienced them happening in people's lives. You experienced this word coming to life. You've seen the blind eyes open. You've experienced deaf ears unstopping. You have experienced it. I was watching this week a pastor in Michigan passed away just a few days ago, and I couldn't be in the service, but I was watching the service online, and when the camera was panning, I was like, right there, it happened right there. I never will forget preaching a revival in this church, and remember this woman coming down of the middle aisle. There were hundreds of people in this building. It was packed, and it was hard to get through to even work in the altars. I just remember when the altar call was made, there were so many people that responded, so many people that came hungry for God to do something in their life. And I remember this woman coming down, and she stood out to me because she was in all black, a black like turtleneck dress on with long sleeves and very long down to the floor. And I remember praying for this woman, and they said, hey, you got to pray for her, pray for her. I remember just my eyes closed and just sincere praying and my eyes closed, my hand on her head praying, and she just went out from under my hand, and I thought, well, she's fallen out or something. You know, I'm thinking I'm just powerful and all of that. And when I opened my eyes, she hadn't fallen out. She had turned and was going back down the aisle. And I thought, well, I've said something that offended her. I did something wrong. I don't know what's going on, but there were so many people. I immediately got distracted and pulled another direction, and so that service concluded, and I didn't think much more about it until the next day when the pastor came to pick me up to go to lunch, and we got in the car, and he said, you remember last night there was a lady that was in the service, and he began to describe what she was wearing, and it all. I said, yes, that lady. I was standing right there, prayed for her, and I just started praying, and she went out from under my hand, and I saw her going down the aisle. He said, let me tell you who that woman is. She's been a part of our church for years, and he said she was diagnosed with cancer not long ago, and he said the cancer has produced tumors all over her body. He said, but not only are they internal, but you can see them protruding. There's large lumps, visible lumps all over her body, and that's why she was dressed that way. She hasn't been to church in weeks and weeks and weeks. They've been trying to treat this, but they have given absolutely no hope. But she heard about the revival and heard that God was moving, and so she came in her weakened state. And when you saw her come down that aisle, she had just arrived to church, and we prayed, and then she left immediately. He said, but the reason she left, per her testimony, is that she felt something happen in her body, and she had to get back home where she could disrobe and get that dress off and begin to look and check the places in her body where there were lumps and where all of these this cancer was showing. And when she got home and got that dress off, she couldn't find one lump anywhere on her body, couldn't find any evidence of cancer. You know what? I am a witness of that. I'm a witness. And I got to relive that this week, watching that service and knowing that's where it happened. It was right there on that aisle. I remember standing right there when that woman was healed and God touched her body, and she was healed from that day on. That's why I pray the prayer of faith. That's why I believe. That's why I am passionate, because I am a witness of these things. I'm a witness. He said, your witness is... Guess what? I'm not through doing this. I'm going to continue doing this, and I'm going to do it through each of you. Behold, verse 49, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Because I'm inviting all of you who've just graduated one level to enroll in the next school. I'm inviting you to go to graduate school. I'm inviting you to go to a school of higher learning and greater understanding. It's the school of belief. Man, it's been awesome. It's been awesome, but the next class is starting soon. No, it's not happening right here. We're not going to continue to walk these same trails and paths that you've been following. This time it's happening in Jerusalem. It's Acts chapter 2. I want you to get enrolled in the school of power, and I want you to major in the miraculous. I want you to go to Jerusalem because that's where class is going to start. And somebody said, I don't think I got the grades for that. No. Everyone is accepted in this school. Everyone is accepted in this school. I understand when you're applying for colleges and master's degree programs and doctoral programs, you got to send transcripts, and somebody's got to look over that stuff with a magnifying glass, and somebody's got to make sure that you did the work, and someone's got to check your papers, and now they run them through programs to make sure you didn't have AI write your papers. It's a whole thing now, but when it comes to the school of the Spirit, the only prerequisite, the only requirement is your desire. The only thing you have to have is a want to and a willingness to say, Lord, I'm making room for you. Whatever you want to do, however you want to move, however you want to work. Y'all making me work hard today, but I will stand flat-footed and preach the paint off these walls, because I know in whom I have believed. I am a witness to these things. You don't think you have the grades? Well, guess what? You've already been accepted. Acts 2 and 39, for this promise is to you and your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The devil would love for you to think that you're not worthy of this, but God made a promise. If you want it, you can have it. If you desire it, it is yours. And the Bible said, Luke 24 and 50, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. I'm inviting you, but I can only lead you so far. I'm calling you, but I can only carry you so far. He led them as far as Bethany. And then he said, the rest of the journey is up to you. Your desire is going to take you the rest of the way. Your passion, your yes is going to take you the rest of the way. Because regardless of what you think of Jesus, he does not force anything on anyone. It only happens when we want it. It only happens when we desire it. If you want this, you're going to have to pursue. You're going to have to want. You're going to have to reach. If you want more for your life, you absolutely can have more in your life. If you need a miracle, you absolutely can have a miracle in your life. But with Jesus, you've already been accepted. You're in. He wants you to be in this class. What are we going to study? What's in the syllabus? What are we going to learn? Let me give you the course curriculum for the school of the Spirit. Acts 2, 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Class, this is what we hope you'll get out of this school. This is what we hope to show you. This is what we hope you will experience. This is what we want you to see. This is the course objective, that your life be filled with the Spirit, that your life be filled with His glory. I'm talking about graduate glory. I'm not talking about just baseline belief, but graduate glory. I'm not just talking about death, burial, and resurrection. I'm talking about Him resurrecting in us in the power of His Spirit. Is anybody hungry for that today? Does anybody desire that today? Does anybody want that in your life today? And it came to pass, Luke 24, 51, came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him. They were watching him go. You got to imagine this scene, because I believe it happened just like this. As all of those people were gathered around and Jesus saying, all right, next class starts in Jerusalem. It's happening in a few days. You better get to Jerusalem. And the Bible said that he was parted from them. I believe they watched him being carried up. I believe they're standing there worshiping Jesus. You're awesome. You're amazing. Almost like you would see a balloon that's released that just continues to be carried higher and higher. I believe they're all standing there watching him go. They're all, hey, Lord, this was amazing the last 3 years of my life. Oh, it's been amazing. Lord, we love you. All right, okay. All right, I don't know when, but we're going to see you again, and this is great, and I don't know what to do. I guess I'll go to Jerusalem. I'm waiting. I want to experience everything that he has for me. And that's what the Bible said after they watched him carried up into heaven. They worshiped him and they returned to Jerusalem. Why? Because that's where he called us to go. That's what he encouraged us to do. That's what he said he wanted for our lives. I'm not just going to leave you here at Bethany without comfort, without help, without strength. No, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. But I'm going to come to you in a different way. I'm going to come to you in a different expression. I'm going to come to you in a way that you've never experienced before. I'm going to come to you in the power of my Spirit. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And the Bible said in verse 53, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They were there waiting. It was on this day, Pentecost Sunday, 50 days after Easter, they're in the upper room. They're waiting. Bible said they'd been there for days. This was not an immediate, you know, wave goodbye in Bethany and just walk down the road to Jerusalem and all of this happened. No, they were there waiting. They were there wondering, is this ever going to happen? I mean, we got the address right. Didn't he say we're supposed to be in Jerusalem, right? This is where we're supposed to be. Yeah. Come on, just be patient. Just hold on. Just stay in the fight. There's people in this room today that I need to encourage you not to drop out. I need to encourage you to stay in school. You feel like you can't take one more test. You can't study and learn one more thing. And you can't do this. You can't do that. Don't drop out. It's interesting because Paul talks about this in his first letter to the Corinthians. Look, Corinthians 15 and verse 3. For what I have received, I passed on to you as of first importance. In other words, I gave to you exactly what was given to me. I taught you exactly what has been taught to me. The message has not changed. What did he teach? There's a colon there. What's following the colon is what he's been teaching. That Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He said that's the gospel. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I've given you the baseline understanding. I've given you what you've needed to know up to this point in your life. But he goes on. That Jesus appeared, he's referring to the Lord, he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. That's all of the things that's happening. And earlier in Luke 24, John 21, where he's trying to show himself to Thomas again and going in and out of this house where the disciples are all held up, scared for their lives. He appears to the 12. And after that, verse 6, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters at one time. Paul is talking about what happened at Bethany, that graduation. All right, everybody here at Bethany, you've graduated. You've graduated this phase and this stage. But now I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to graduate glory. I'm inviting you to your next level. I'm inviting you to your next step. I'm inviting you to Jerusalem. And Paul said, there were more than 500 people that heard this invitation. More than 500 that heard this call. And he said, most of them are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Some have passed. Some were old when that happened, and now they're gone. But most of them are still living. In other words, they are witnesses of these things. So what I'm telling you is not third hand, fourth hand information. These are eyewitnesses who were there, who corroborate. This is exactly how it happened in my life, in their lives. It's interesting that in Bethany, he invites more than 500, but we can only account for about 120 in Acts chapter 2. Isn't that interesting? About 120. At some point today, our ushers and said they're going to count every breathing body in this building. They'll text me a count later on today. It's how many we had at church, because it's not so large a crowd that we can't count how many people are in the room. I remember preaching for one pastor. He was kind of uptight about his numbers, and we got back to the office, and there was a post-it note laying there on his office that had the count number, and he didn't like it. He said, this drives me crazy. They always miss about 40 or 50 people in the bathrooms. You know, and me just too young and too quick-witted, I said, how many stalls y'all got? He didn't like that. It's always bugged me. Luke, I mean, somebody in this upper room knows how to count. Why can't we get an exact number? Let me tell you my theory. The reason they had to say it was about 120 is because there was a steady stream of people that were going out the door. There were people leaving. There were people that were dropping out. People saying, "You know what? I've been at this too long. I've been waiting too long. I thought this was what would have already happened in my life. I thought this would have already come in my. I would have thought this miracle would have already taken place in my life. I've been coming to that church for 2 weeks and nothing has changed in my life. I've been coming for a month and I've not had the breakthrough that he's up there talking about. Listen, can you just hold on for a moment? Can you get some staying power? Can you just plant your feet and say, God, if you never bless me, I've already been blessed so much. Lord, if you never work in the way that I want you to work, you've already been so good to me. If you never make another way, you've already made a way in my life. I'm in graduate glory. You can't get rid of me. And about 120 were still there. About 120 hung on. About 120 just remained right where they were until suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all of the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them divided tongues, and one of those flames set on each one of them. Telling you, God's ready to set a flame on your head. God's ready to pour his spirit out in your life. Graduate, glory. I'm not just living baseline. I'm not just living milk of the word. I'm graduating to the meat of God's word and God's promise and God's power in my life. Oh, I feel you, Lord, in this room. I feel you. I feel you. Would you stand with me across the house?